We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. We're talking with our city officials, Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler. City Commission, again, has a 7 o'clock meeting tonight, and that is in City Hall. And you can also view that online at cityofmhk.com/TV, the Facebook page, and Cox Cable Channel 3 for those of you who still have cable. I do not. I usually follow on the website or the Facebook page, but the a lot of avenues to follow your city government meeting here this evening. We look at item B here on the general agenda. This is another discussion item, so no action, I guess, here will be taken. But this has to do with, I'm guessing, a creation of a donated art policy. Is that what this is?
It is, Brandon. It's something that we've been working on for quite a while in conjunction with the Arts and Humanities Advisory Board. And you know, there's different ways we can already entertain art, but this, as you said, this would be specific to donated art and donated art where the artist has a say in, you know, maybe where it's located or what some of the components might be. And so it gets a little bit more involved, you know, so if somebody has an art or a sculpture and, you know, simply wants to say, hey, I want to give this to the city and, you know, I'm not involved, I want you all to have it and be able to place it. We can accommodate that now, and as well as loaned art, such as temporary exhibits and juried art programs, those can be done now, or where we're initiating the art in a city facility, much like we did with the mural at Douglas Center. So again, all of those may have the Arts and Humanities Board involved in the process, but we have existing policies that deal with how we work with those types of donations and or initiatives, art initiatives. So this one is where you have a donor initiated program where that donor still wants to be involved in the process and have a say in the ultimate design and placement of the facility. So we've crafted a program that lays out an outline for you know, staff to review the criteria. You know, does it meet certain specifications for engineering? You know, if it's a 60-foot sculpture, you know, is it going to fall over? Or what's the base design? And can you locate it at the proposed location without any major issues with underground utilities or site lines, those kind of things? So you have a kind of a technical review from a staff perspective, and then the staff would take that to the Arts and Humanities Board for their review of the proposal on the merits that it may have, as well as it may be that one of the locations falls under the purview of another board, so maybe at the airport or something. So you go talk to the Airport Advisory Board or in a park for the Parks and Rec Advisory Board to have some input into the process. So we've kind of created a flowchart that kind of reviews how that process might work, but ultimately this proposal would have the final concurrence by the city commission on a yay or nay. So looking for discussion and input, we've had some input from the Arts and Humanities Board, and again, if the commission feels comfortable looking for give some if they say, let's tweak this and do some other components, then we'll get that put up into a policy resolution and brought back to them.
All right. Mayor Butler, anything you'd like to see?
I think this involves also, what if somebody wants to donate cash to the Arts and Humanities Board, a system for making that work? Because we had some discussions in the past, I guess, from the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation, and we just didn't have a mechanism for funneling, you know, funds to the Arts Board, and just got the bureaucracy, and there's all kinds of hangups, and so we just got to straighten that out, and that's what this is intended to do.
And again, this would only be dealing with art that's going on public property, so right of way or in a park facility. It doesn't govern anything that people want to do on their own property or on their building or any of those private initiatives that are occurring in the community. That it doesn't, we don't have any policies that really deal with that particular aspect of it per se.
Yeah, so yeah, but it's not part of the code, building code that says you can't like that. The murals they've got in some of the alleys there, those were private, not a city initiative.
Okay. Well, I mean, interesting. You know, people say they love or they hate art, and I think most people would say that you know, it certainly adds another element here to our community, and there's obviously a need here. Otherwise, this wouldn't be brought forward.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of interest, as the mayor said. The foundation has gotten some funds set up through some trusts and different aspects to support art, and that we just need to have a clean way to be able to. Here's the rules governing those components, and so I think this meets that need and should work pretty well.
And the other thing, you know, we've got the arts board, but they really don't have a source of funding. It's not like we, you know, budget $500,000 or something and say, here, this is for art. That'd really drive up our budget. So I'm enthused about getting this through because it would support art, but it wouldn't be doing it through property tax. It'd be taking advantage of people that like to donate this stuff.
All right. So that's item B here on the agenda here tonight. And then that wraps up the general agenda. We do have some things here on the consent agenda I guess we could talk about next here. Ron, where do you want to start on that?
So, yeah, several things there. We've got some grants for the commission to consider. One is a city-state agreement with the Kansas Department of Transportation on the to develop the update the Safe Routes to School master plan. We also have a grant from KDOT. This is on our City Connecting Link program that will do additional work out on Fort Riley Boulevard, K-18, between Juliet and Martin Luther King Jr. Drive. And then probably the biggie there is, I think you're all aware that we were selected to be a finalist for the Defense Communities Infrastructure Program for our runway widening. So if you recall, we have a FAA grant to rebuild the main runway out at the airport, but the FAA will only pay to put back, it's currently 150 foot wide, but they're saying our air service, because we use regional jets, they only need 100 feet to land on, so they don't really count well, they count it, but you have to have a huge number of charter planes to make it work, and defense-related aircraft don't contribute to that tally. So this defense infrastructure program was really designed for helping communities around military bases to utilize for infrastructure improvements, and so we thought it was a really good fit this year. Because it does enhance military readiness and military value, because we want to be able to the airport to support everything it does for Fort Riley currently. So this would pay the lion's share of the cost to pay for that 50-foot widening. So it's about a little over $6 million, right at $6 million from the Department of Defense that we anticipate getting word this month, possibly before the next meeting, that we have to turn paperwork around. So this is, if we get the grant, then it authorizes us to proceed with executing the necessary documents to secure the grant. So we're excited about that opportunity, had a lot of good support from the region as well as Fort Riley itself and our congressional delegation as well. So we think we've got a good shot at it. We were the only Army post that was a finalist in the Army. All the rest were Air Force and Marine Corps facilities. So we're optimistic about it, feel pretty good about it. Our discussion and second round of initiatives with the feds have gone well. And so we're optimistic that we'll be able to land that. So this is just taking care of the necessary authorizations if and when we get it.
That's great news. Well, and Mayor, that's got to make you pretty happy.
Yeah, I like that, because we just had an update, you know, on the airport runway project. And I think the city cost was hitting around $14 million, you know, because we were going to have to pick up the cost of this extra widening. And so, you know, taking $6 million off that is good news for, you know, long-term planning of the budget. That's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. It's necessary, but yeah, I know how, I've been covering that here the last couple of years. That is an expensive project, but it's one that needs to be done. There's also, I know tonight, finalizing an agreement here for the North Campus Corridor project. And can you explain a little bit about what this phase is?
Sure. So that was one I was going to mention on the agreement. So this would authorize us to finalize our agreements with K-State. So this is on the Phase 9 project that hasn't bid yet, but is anticipated to bid here later this year. And this is the project basically that picks up where we stopped on the Kimball and College project. So about there at the entrance to the West Stadium parking lot, and goes all the way past Green Science and just past the rowing facility. So one of the objectives of the improvements along the Kimball corridor is our safety improvements. So there's several different intersections or accesses to Kimball now where people are slowing down. If you're going east, you're using that inside lane, which is typically a faster lane where you're not necessarily expecting people to turn along that segment to access those driveways. Well, what we've done in this particular project and through a grant from KDOT is we're going to create a back frontage road. So basically from College all the way through eventually to Denison, but in this case to the Green Science Complex, there'll be a reverse frontage road is what they call it, well off, that allows us to close all of those curb cuts, access points along that corridor, except at the intersection of the Green Science Complex and the Kansas Wheat and the rowing. There'll be a new signalized intersection at that location with turning lanes and wider distances. So it's a big safety improvement to be able to do that. K-State is going to donate all of those closures as well as the easements for that reverse frontage road. Since it's a federally funded program, there are a couple of smaller buildings that are in the way of the project. So we have to acquire those buildings. So we're providing for a cost of when in that we have to do a replacement cost. So that's part of this agreement is to be able to purchase and replace those buildings to the tune of about $637,000, and then finalize all those easements necessary to build that reverse frontage road and take out all of those current access roads or access curb cuts. So it's an agreement. That's the next step we've been waiting on. The regions have to finalize that, and then it'll be ready to go to bid. We did open bids on phase 10. So that's the project from between on Kimball, the next phase of the project between North Manhattan and Denison, essentially. We had four bidders and we had some really decent bids. So again, that's almost a fully KDOT funded project, and we look that'll be a project we'll be bringing to the commission for award here before very long.
Okay, that's a big project there, and going to see some challenges here for traffic over the next year. So we'll see when that comes to fruition. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back more with our city officials here, Ron Fear and Mayor Wynn Butler, on In Focus, News Radio KMAN.